everybody. Action-packed episode of the show today. We discuss the latest SEC lawsuit against Uniswap, which is a New York-based company. Didn't know that. We talk about the state of Solana NFTs following Tensor's airdrop, and we do a deep dive into the top five blast farming opportunities that require little to no capital. We also touch on runes and the state of affairs on Bitcoin ordinals. Overall, it's a great episode of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast, where we discuss all things crypto market. That includes the majors like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, and of course, meme coins and NFTs. Today, we have a lot to talk about. We are going to discuss the latest SEC lawsuit against Uniswap, very in line with our ongoing discussion about whether the Ethereum ETF gets approved in May. Let me tell you, it's seeming less likely every single day that goes by. We're also going to discuss the state of Solana NFTs following Tensor's airdrop of the Tensor token, that's ticker TNSR, earlier this week. I'm actually really looking forward to that chat. And lastly, we're going to do a quick deep dive into the top five blast farming opportunities that require little to no capital. That's usually a recipe for success. Clemente, you jazzed up this morning or what?
I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up. I watched a reel when I was in NFT NYC about how people in their 20s should be getting on a skincare routine. So I got home from NFT NYC because a bunch of people were telling me, they're like, oh, dude, you're way younger than I expected. I thought you were in like your mid 30s. So I got a skincare routine in the mornings. I started moisturizing for the first time in my life. I feel good. Look, my face, it's like reflecting in the sunlight. So I don't know.
I have a lot of opinions on this.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, that sounds like a scam. I'm pretty sure the whole skincare industry in general
is
a scam.
That is not a scam. Pio thinks that moisturizing is a scam.
You're supposed to literally put like lard on your face, like actual animal.
Supposed to put sunscreen on your face.
You're supposed to put like animal fat on your body. That's how they did it 10,000 years ago.
I'm sorry, okay. But if you dated a girl who turned up on a date with lard on her face, lard and makeup, there is no way you're going to be like, oh, hey, do you want to come back to mine? The skincare industry, even if it's bullshit, it makes all of us look better. Moisturizing is the basics. It's the basics of life. It's up there with like counting 1 to 10. So yeah, lard ain't going to fly. I wouldn't date Clemente with lard on his face.
The lard is crazy. Signal, so check this out. Every morning, face wash, exfoliating. I'm just rubbing my face. I put some good stuff on there. Lotion, moisturize. Then I put some beard oil, dude. I started laughing.
Beard oil. What a scam. Beard oil.
Pio acts like... Are you serious with the lard, dude? Are you serious?
Well, we're going to die. Look, I'm not a skincare, ancient history skincare expert, but I have a hunch.
Why does ancient history have any relevance to it?
Because we're the same physical form that we were 5,000 years ago, literally. The only thing is
people died when they were 7 years old because they didn't have medical procedures 2,000 years ago. So what the hell are you talking about?
I'm going to dive into this this weekend. We're going to figure out how the ancient Romans took care of their skin. I guarantee it's
Nobody
animal.
Gives a shit. I'm going to tell you it was poorly.
It was not poorly. The other thing is that Clemente, you can be perceived as older than you are. I think because of your facial hair. I think that if you had a clean shaven face, that would change a lot. You got a good hairline, buddy. I don't think that there's anything particularly old besides the facial hair situation, which is making people perhaps think that you are older than you actually are. Here's Nick. Nick, what's going on, buddy? People also think Nick's younger than he is. So there you go.
Dude, I'm offended by your commentary. I'm going to be honest. Like, I cannot believe that you're talking about a lard on the face and that thousands of years ago is your reference for what a proper skincare routine is, dude. Like, what are you even talking about?
So there was skincare practices.
You would have been married by 6 years old back in the day, dude.
Byzantine generals, man, how do they take care of their skin? We're going to dig into it and we're going to figure it out. It damn sure wasn't with a bunch of chemicals. Let me tell you that. It's for sure things that grow in the ground or walk around on the planet in some capacity.
So you're saying sunscreen is bullshit? Because that didn't exist back in the Roman Empire. Are you telling me skin cancer is a joke?
So,
are you telling me like that's all just made up bullshit? Is that what the situation is?
No. However, there is an asterisk on this. When you start diving into the sunscreen situation, things get interesting. They do get interesting. I don't have enough. I'm not giga opinionated on this and not qualified to talk about it. If Nick Carter was on this show, Bitcoin expert Nick Carter, he'd have a lot of things to say.
He's an expert on Bitcoin. He's going to tell you about sunscreen. What the fuck is going on right now?
He's done a little bit of research on it. I'm just saying he's got an opinion. I don't have an opinion on everything.
I wake up every single morning and I rub the Bitcoin white paper all over my face. It's the only way to keep this complexion going, this youthful energy.
They used to do that 2,000 years ago, easy.
Well, Bitcoin wasn't around 2,000 years ago, but I'll tell you, it'll be around for another 2,000 years.
Well, then I've been doing it for 14 years.
It must be complete bullshit, because if humans did not do that 2,000 years ago, it's a complete scam.
Money was around 2,000 years ago. This is our new version of money, which I do like. And it has nothing to do with our physical bodies. So it's actually directly in line with what I'm talking about. The world around us changes, but our physical bodies stay the same. I see Clemente just pinned a comment. Tanaka78 just comes through. I'm right. Just blanket. A blanket, I'm right. Just everything that I've been talking about, it's a blanket statement. Even though I'm not even expressing strong opinions, I'm right. Anyway, look, let's dive into the newsletter updates.
I want to apologize to anybody in the audience.
There's literally no apology necessary.
There's going to be community notes on this show. Given like the outrageous commentary that's gone on this morning about skincare.
A huge fan of big skincare corporations. Do you really think they have your best interests in mind?
About big skincare? No, I'm not actually a big fan of big skincare corporations. I think that there's a lot of stuff that is wildly unhealthy for you. In fact, that they've been, I don't need to talk about my own skincare routine and stuff, but the bottom line is I definitely am, a little concerned with some of the stuff I've been prescribed in the past. That said, I have rosacea, Pia.
What is rosacea?
It's something that you wouldn't be familiar with because you're a dumbass when it comes to skincare. and you don't believe that any of these things are real. I'll give you one guess. Rosacea, just think about the word. What does it mean?
Occasional redness.
Okay, there we go. Redness. So that's basically what it is. So your skin can become red. Is a common thing that can result in like
make your face look like a tomato.
Other things. So what you use is sulfur, a sulfur face wash, which
Romans did use sulfur baths,
and they did, and they used it. And if you look at Israeli, I only accept it from Israel. That's the only place that I accept my sulfur from, because it's just
mailed directly to your door.
Dead
discreet,
Sea
discreet baseball. Packaging.
Get some Dead Sea action in there. So some of the stuff is real. Some of it is legit, like Pfizer and big pharma medication stuff, which I'm very concerned about.
Mainstream liberal healthcare system.
I have used before. When it comes to like steroid cream and stuff like that.
All right, last thing on this.
Looked at using steroids, Pio, you would know this because you really heavily consider it on a regular basis. No one 2,000 years ago was injecting steroids into them on a regular basis.
I totally agree. So real quick, this is the last thing I'm going to say on this. I did a quick Google search. Okay, this is one Google search. This is 10 seconds while we're on the show. We're going to move on to the weather report in a second. I did ancient Roman skincare. Okay, ancient Roman skincare. I think everybody can kind of get behind this, right? Like 2,000 years ago.
I'm all in.
Exactly. So what do we got?
What do you mean get behind this?
Because I think you can appreciate that 2,000 years ago, ancient Rome, like these are humans before technology got in the mix.
They didn't even shower.
This is when Italians were really developing cuisine at a very advanced level. The Roman arch.
It out now. It's because that's when Italians had any relevance in culture and had any personality that was worth it, reasonably acceptable within society. So now I understand why you dwell on that. You long for the days when people would respect you. But no longer do they do because you're Italian. I'm sorry for that.
Well, there you go. The Roman Arch. I don't know if you ever heard of the Roman Arch, but it's pretty significant in the world of architecture. A lot of interesting things came out of ancient Rome, just telling you. But real quick, last thing.
Architecture said.
The ancient Romans made creams and lotions to fight and hide wrinkles, pimples, sunspots, freckles, and flaking. That sounds like something you could get behind, Nick. Sounds like something Signal could get behind, too. And now newly Clemente. These masks were made from a mixture of lentils, barley, lupine, honey, or fennel blended with oil. So all things that grow in the ground or walk around on the planet. Oregano seeds, sulfur. There you go. You mentioned sulfur, Nick. Vinegar makes a lot of sense to me. Goose grease. That means fat. That means lard. That's lard from a goose. Basil juice and hawthorn. Sometimes they added an essence of rose or myrrh. M-Y-R-R-H. The moral of the story is it's no bullshit chemicals from a big facial care organization. Anyway, let's rock and roll with this weather report. Blate with the comment that there wouldn't be
what
McDonald's.
What was the average age of death
17.
In the Roman Empire? It looks like between 20 to 30 years.
Okay? So and that's because they put natural things on their bodies.
Well, I'm just saying... If they went natural for their entire lives, it didn't seem to work out. I'm just letting you know. So there were turns out there were cures to things. A lot of it had to do with high infant mortality rates. But regardless,
we have audience members weighing in with their opinions on how we would have fared back in the day in the ancient Roman Empire. Test Tube Ted said that Nick would have only lasted until he was 19 years old because of air quality issues. Because
air quality would have actually been higher at that moment in time. Although that saying,
what about
during
Pompeii?
Wartime, the pollution probably would have been pretty severe. I also know that the streets were quite dirty. But given the fact that I'm a descendant of Roman royalty, Caesar himself. And Brutus, they both were sleeping with each other. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Dude, Caesar was gay, basically. Like, his thing. So, you know, like shit went wrong and then boom.
You were born.
Then he stabbed.
Okay. Anyway, let's rock and roll into this weather report.
Dude, he went on Grindr, met up with another guy. He got pissed. Caesar got pissed. Boom, stabbing.
Wow. Well, hey, look, that's how it can go down sometimes.
Caesar was killed by Brutus, huh?
I would imagine that there was a lot of scandalous activity in ancient Rome. Anyway, we can dive right into Thursday, April 11th weather report and newsletter updates being led by Signal.
What percentage of the population was gay back then, Pia?
I don't know. But I'd assume, honestly, a pretty similar percentage to now because that's just how it works. Anyway, Signal, please, what's going on?
I have no idea what's going on. We went from lentils to Caesar being gay. And then anyway, whatever. Good morning. Whether you moisturize your face with La Mer, lard, Dead Sea salt, whatever. Let's get into this weather report as long as you don't have dry skin. Today, Thursday, 11th April, what has been going on in the market? Well, first of all, ETH market volume came in at 22.5, Solana at 12 million and Ordinals at 50 million. On the market leader side, the Miladies, they're up to 5.3 ETH. Mebit, they're down to 0.6. Over on Solana, Mutant Mon, that's up to 2.2 SOL. Saga Monkeys, also up to 4.3 SOL. Finally, over on Ordinals, the Blobs, they're up to 0.06 ETH. And BTC. And Rune Pups, they're up 20% to 0.09 BTC. On the crypto roundup, majors are all up about 2% on the day in the face of a hot CPI print with Bitcoin at $70,150, ETH at $3,513, Solana at $117. Meme coin still doing well. You got Thog, that's up 100% as Beanie just continues to shill that on the timeline. Shark Cat, that's up about 80% despite facing demands from the owners of their tokens, cat mascot Nala. And lastly, Mando's epic, the epic duck has rallied to 15 million market cap. Over the past 24 hours, top three stories. Well, firstly, Uniswap's Labs received a Wells notice from the SEC recommending legal action against them. Their response is they're ready to fight, and we are confident that the products we offer are not just legal, they're transformative. Uniswap's Uni token is down about 20% on the day to 5.5 billion market cap. Secondly, some more drama in the DeFi space as Solana's staking protocol Blaze accused liquidity and lending provider MarginFi of pocketing Blaze's reward emissions over the last 3 weeks rather than dispersing them to users. It culminated in MarginFi's CEO absolutely having a meltdown on Twitter and then resigning. And then lastly, Layer 1 blockchain Sui announced the first handheld gaming device with native Web3 capabilities. The device is powered by Playtron and allows gamers to play both Web2 and Web3 games across PC and mobile. The Sui token is about even on the day at a 2 billion market cap. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio. Hope you moisturize.
Fantastic weather report as usual. Signal some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. It's emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Got a few stories today. Market Screener reports that Hong Kong Bitcoin ETFs will be approved as soon as this week, with trading going live within the month. Absolutely love to see it. We'll see what impact that has on the market for Bitcoin. OG Ethereum native artist, he's an OG now, Grant Yun announces his first Solana drop, minting April 18th on exchange.art. It's pretty interesting.
I want exposure to this for sure.
This is going to be very interesting. We'll see what happens there. Next story, pre-sale for base meme coin FOMO, father of meme origin, raises $15 million in 1 hour. Next story, Solana lending protocol Sharkify announces an airdrop for Mad Lads and SMB Gen 2 holders, which is open until April 14th. So 3 days to click on the link that they tweeted out from their official account to reserve an allocation, which is how we do airdrops these days in the crypto and NFT spaces. You reserve an allocation. Node Monkeys holders were airdropped a Rune Node Ordinal overnight by the team behind the Node BRC token, and the collection is currently trading at 0.03 Bitcoin. The current market cap of Node BRC 20 token is at $27 million. Clemente, any more context on this?
Yeah, so this is this was not from the actual Node Monkeys team. This is from the Node BRC 20 team. They airdropped this to Node Monkeys holder. So it's their speculation that there will be a rune dropping or launching. This is trading at, it's been rallying recently because it's trading as kind of in correlation to the PUPS token, which has been on a heater. So this is interesting, at 27 million, potentially severely discounted. A lot of people are getting in on this action, but it's worth monitoring over the next 24 hours.
Good to know. And some updates on the NFT mint side of the crypto market. So we have a Polygon mint, Dew Origin Pass. Dew is the number one NFT aggregator on Polygon. It's incubated by X2Y2, had a closed seed round of $10 million led by Polygon and Circle. So really big names within crypto. So this is a 999 supply collection, free. So we're seeing this approach, the old Gabe Layden approach that he did with DigiDaiGaku, which is like low supply comparative and free. So that's happening. Clement, is this happening today, 1 p.m. EST?
It looks like it's starting in 37 minutes.
Got it. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. 10 a.m. Eastern time for the Alalas. So that's a 1 p.m. Eastern public mint. So pay attention to it. If it makes it to public, it could be an opportunity. And then the next story is a Bitcoin mint, The Block. So this is by Leo. I can't pronounce his last name, but anyway, he is a sculptor and an artist behind the Bitcoin Ordinal Runestone. He is releasing his own collection of three different blocks with mechanics that allow holders to convert them into real exclusive marble sculptures. This is a 1,000 supply collection on Bitcoin, 0.015 Bitcoins, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Today's mints, this section is designed to keep you aware of what's minting today and give you opportunities. These are not sponsored spots by any means, and it'll be interesting. That's on Bitcoin 1,000 supply with ordinals cooking the way it has been. Got to think this is probably an opportunity, but you never know. It's also themed in a similar kind of direction as runes, which is obviously the talk of the town right now. So those are your daily mints. Those are your stories from the Daily Bone newsletter. First main story to cover is the biggest story in all of crypto, I would argue, which is Uniswap versus the SEC. So to kind of serve this up, yesterday the SEC announced its latest opponent in crypto, presenting Uniswap with a Wells notice. If you recall, they presented a Wells notice to Coinbase just under a year ago, although it feels like it was a lot longer than that. It's actually less than a year ago. And this is a Wells notice is a formal notification informing the organization that the SEC will be taking enforcement action against them. So another Wells notice or a regulatory case between the SEC and crypto companies before were the SEC versus Ripple. This is probably the most iconic example of something like this because it was a multi-year battle. Now, the SEC, by the way, ended up losing. The outcome was that, it made it clear that the secondary market transactions and digital assets generally do not constitute investment contracts. So that was when Ripple won. I just mentioned the SEC versus Coinbase. The outcome there is that the court at the earliest stage of the case, Clemente, you're throwing me off, throughout the SEC's claim that crypto wallets were brokers, even if they take fees. So this is a gnarly case. It's with Uniswap, which is a name brand entity in the crypto space. Wonder how this one's going to play out. I'd love to know. Easy, do you have any thoughts on this? Then we can kind of go around.
I think the SEC is going to lose, personally. That's just kind of where my mentality is at right now with it, and like listening to it all and reading kind of what, I forget who the guy's name is, Hayden, I want to say, is the founder of Uniswap. He had been publicly tweeting about it, about why they chose New York, why they're US based, how he feels about everything. And basically all in all said, he thinks this is like, they're going to win, like plain and simple. He's like, we chose the US. We think there's innovation here. We wanted to provide a decentralized way for people to swap tokens in a trustless way that you don't have to worry about counterparty risk and all this other stuff. And basically says like, this Wells notice he feels is not going to stand up. So I think this is actually going to be like another loss for the SEC. I think right now they're just looking to find somebody that they feel they can get a win against after losing to XRP, after getting some pushback against Coinbase and a variety of different judges basically saying that they don't agree with the SEC. And it seems like Gensler is currently trying to do everything he can to at least get anything to stick at this point.
Yeah, it's been wild. Nick, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. I mean, it's a big story. It's Gary Gensler really trying to have some kind of legacy here. Nick, what do you what are your thoughts on the SEC versus Uniswap?
I mean, this was crazy. Man, oh, man. You know, what is it like running an exchange in New York? It sucks. I would say it's pretty, like, how does New York feel about Uniswap is like my question, because I know with like Gemini had to go through all sorts of regulatory like hurdles, and that's why a lot of exchanges don't operate here, yet Uniswap does operate. So I mean, there is, I don't know how this, like, all they got is Wells notice, so I don't know how this case is going to be structured basically, like, but I mean, there are some questions about Uniswap regardless. Everyone's like, this is, I mean, the most dramatic is coming from the Bankless guys, which is like, every entrepreneur is going to leave this country now. I mean, we've been waiting for the Bankless guys to leave the country ever since we got into this space. So that, like, hopefully he, like, one of them is like out of here. But as it applies to like, I don't know. It's like, so everyone's like posting all this stuff about it yesterday, about like, this is just so devastating for the crypto industry. It's not. There's like, it kind of has no impact to a large degree outside of, there does need to be some sort of regulatory clarification of what's possible and what isn't possible. And the way that this is being hashed out is through like lawsuits, essentially, which kind of makes sense. But all that we know right now is that every attempt that the SEC has tried to make against like a crypto organization has just failed. So like, I guess more and more things are possible, frankly. And if Uniswap wins this, I mean, like, can we just do whatever we want at that point? Like, can we just launch a token and there's no concern? Like, who are the people that have gone to jail for launching a token at this point? Like, that's the last step to me, which is like, one is being an unregulated exchange where there's no KYC, which is what, to me, it feels like Uniswap is. They facilitate essentially like liquidity of any token that exists on Ethereum, which is decreasingly relevant. Ethereum's dead, in case anyone wants to know. Like, it's just over. Never going anywhere. We've seen over the past few weeks. Now Solana's dead. I can't even believe it. It's dead, never coming back.
It's back today.
It's back? So back.
It's working fairly well, basically all day today. TPS seems to be holding up. So Solana's back, ETH's still dead.
Okay. So ETH dead, Solana back. I don't know. I'm interested. There's really nothing. They were. How dare they?
I think
how
it's good.
The SEC. I mean, what a bunch of freaking walzers. That's where I'm at right now. Where are you at, pal?
I think it's good. I think before the Bitcoin ETF was approved, I think that this carries a lot more weight. I think post Bitcoin ETF, this is like whatever. Like, honestly, I think it's good. I understand what Nick's saying, where Nick's like, I feel like something needed to happen because it's like, if so, are we sure? I didn't even know Uniswap was a United States-based company. They're
New York-based.
They're a New York-based company. Yeah,
the founder came out yesterday and said that they're based in New York and that they chose New York for a specific reason, being that they feel that New York is a hub for innovation and they want to continue to focus on crypto in the States.
Crazy idea, by the way, to you know, try to progress technology in the United States in New York. no, I think it's good. I think that stuff like this needs to happen. If this is the way that things are going to go, and this is almost like a reactive way for the SEC and the US government to operate versus a proactive way. And I don't think that when you kind of look at the government and look at the SEC, you should ever expect any sort of proactive anything. If you remember, I forget which guest was on our show. It might have been Safer. I don't remember who it was. But someone pointed out that TradFi moves too fast for the SEC. So forget about crypto moving too fast for the SEC, where crypto moves fast, too fast for even the fastest participants. TradFi moves too fast for the SEC.
How fast?
Apparently too fast. And so I would expect more of this. I would bet that the SEC loses. And I think that this carries way less weight slash no weight post Bitcoin ETF. There is a live Bitcoin. There are 11 live Bitcoin ETFs with more in the hopper right now. The cat's out of the bag completely. Bitcoin's IPO has happened. Clemente?
Out of the bag.
Oh, I was going to, the only thing I was going to add before we wrap was I thought it was the sushi swap CEO. So I made a horse joke yesterday. I was wondering why no one engaged.
No one got it.
Was the wrong one.
A lot of people don't know that reference either.
Yeah.
So that's one of the issues that you're facing.
Yeah, either way. Complete L for me. But anyways, moving on.
I like a good sushi swap founder joke, Clemente, just as much as the next guy. As soon as there's any sushi swap story, we will be ready. Look, moving on from this, the Uniswap token is down 17% on the news. I don't know anybody that has a big position, you know, in the Uniswap token. Easy, like, would you buy the Uniswap token at any point?
No. Like, if I was going to buy, why would I buy Uniswap? I could just buy Jupiter. Like,
you could buy Filecoin.
Yeah, but see, Nick, some of us like to not make heinous decisions like that. So I'd probably go with Jupiter. You know,
What is the bull case for buying the Uniswap token, Easy?
You just hope that it goes to Base and Blast as like an EVM compatible swap. And because people are familiar, that's where volume cycles, because Base and Blast are both doing a ton of volume right now. However, they have their own DEXs that a lot of people are using at the moment, which is kind of taking that volume. It's always surprising to me how slow Uniswap is to start putting support for other chains, especially EVM compatible ones. But that's kind of the bull case, would be like, you hope that these alt chains draw volume and that's where the interest comes from. Like, that's why we've seen Jupiter do so well.
They're and also, the
there was the case for turning on fees.
Say it again, Sig.
There was also the case for turning on fees, which is why the Uniswap token rallied and we're seeing that sell off. So it's unlikely that the fees would be turned on if this court case goes ahead and if they were to lose. That's probably part of the reason why we're seeing such a strong sell off as well.
Well, we'll have to see what happens with it. I never was into the idea of buying the token, but obviously it's a solid organization in our industry, and I wasn't aware that they were operating out of New York. So this is effectively good because we'll get some sort of result, some sort of determination out of it one way or another. We're going to move on to blast farming and try to do a little deep dive here. So Easy posted on Twitter about the top five farming opportunities on Blast that you can get into without a huge bankroll, which in crypto is a very important factor. A lot of people are interested in deploying a small amount of capital with the opportunity to make a sizable amount of capital. So Easy, could we break down some of these opportunities here and why you ranked them as the top five? Pac Moon was something that Nick tweeted about one time and was able to get a sizable allocation. So that's something. There you go. Easy, please.
Yeah, I mean, I broke these down because it's like some of them are free to play. Some of them are totally free to participate. Pac Moon obviously being the easiest. You post a tweet about Pac Moon. They like the tweet. You qualify. It's like the most straightforward thing. And the thing that I like the most about it is like it's not about spamming it like we've seen with Block and Gaiman and some of these others. Their entire focus is about quality over quantity and like entertaining content, creativity, educational. And the team has to engage with it. If they don't, the tweet is effectively not worth it. So we're seeing a bunch of people try different things to try to climb those leaderboards. People obviously posted a singular every day and is now number one with like 500,000 impressions, but it costs $0 to participate. And so like even one tweet that gets picked up can make you a couple hundred bucks. So like, why wouldn't you want to take that effort and see where you can rank on the board? From there, we also have a few games that I listed as well. Play Cambria has zero cost. It's like a player versus player game, wagering where they have in-game currencies, token airdrop, and simply by playing, you can earn Blast Gold, which is the additional reward system for Blast. So Cambria is like, many people compare it to like a RuneScape. That's really interesting to me. And that one was another low cost one where you can bet in-game currency or ETH on Blast. We're talking low cost to no cost. There was also District 1, SocialFi on Blast. Much like FriendTech, people have rooms. The major difference here, though, is these rooms don't have to be bought to enter. Many are actually public. So you can go in them, talk. It's like a chat room style that's built on Blast, and you earn what's called gems. Gems are speculated to be their upcoming airdrop. It also gets you Blast Gold. So the whole focus here is like, how do we maximize opportunity cost for either return or Blast Gold? Because Blast Gold is like what you want to be farming here. There's two others, Crypto Valleys and Blast Runners. Those do have costs. So looking at those two, it's like those could be viewed as whale games, Blast Runners being the wolf game on Solana, and then Crypto Valleys being DeFi Kingdoms. Those ones, much bigger risk-reward profile, I'd say, because of the inherent cost and fluctuation of underlying assets. Whereas the other three have no cost. So we're looking at the two extremes here, where free is District 1, you have Pac Moon, and then, of course, you have Play Cambria. Cost, I'm looking at Crypto Valleys and Blast Runners because there's a little bit of Ponzi mechanics to it.
Are we late on any of these?
No, so I just got... Blast Runners actually went live yesterday. Pac Moon has 19 more days for the kind of game, I would call it. District 1, there's no timeline, and that's like one of the easiest. Just go and use the app. Like, it's totally free. You can create your own room for 0.005 ETH, but you can just use it. There's no cost. Like, that's another one, and there's no set timeline. Crypto Valleys, the token's down like 85 to 90% with their upcoming mint dropping, but I keep looking at it like how DeFi Kingdoms went. As soon as DeFi Kingdoms minted their heroes, that's where we saw the run-up in the peak. So that's kind of how I'm trading it, is like, we get this NFT mint, I'm going to sell into that and exit while still farming Blast Gold for now. Play Cambria, totally free. They have a couple hundred daily active users every day. There's no timeline on that. So I wouldn't say relate at all. The one thing from New York was like, so many people were asking how I'm spending time. And when I brought up Blast, they seemed so uninterested. Like, that to me was like an awakening of like, oh shit, I'm still kind of early on Blast if everyone's not caring about it right now. Like,
why do you think that they're not interested in
Blast? A lot of them were just kind of like, oh, I haven't even looked at it. I didn't bridge, or I took my money off after the bridge went live. I don't really see how it has a path forward. And I just keep looking at like the roadmap from Blur, and like, they still have 30 things to deliver on. And now they have their own L2 with something this month for NFTs on Blast. And like, there's still no aggregation of a Blast marketplace. You obviously have Mintify and Element Market, and those aren't even aggregating each other. So I'm like, okay, until we start getting ease, there's inherently friction here where people don't want to use this stuff. Their main DEX is called Thruster. Nobody likes using it at the moment. That's not familiar with Blast because it's something new. So like, I keep looking at all these things that are new to people and people not wanting to adopt it or try it. So for me, I'm like, okay, there's friction. Friction is always bullish if you can get in while there's still friction. And that's what I'm looking at. Like, I immediately went to Element Market and was buying Blast NFTs the first day and saw a run up in those. And I wish I held them because they've all since pumped. But like, why would I fade something that a lot of people don't want to get into because it's confusing or they don't know where to start? And why would I not just start taking swings here? Because like, we saw it with Base too, and like SocialFi coming back. We've seen it with some of these other chains. It makes no sense for me not to get familiar so that when there is a tide turn, I'm already first mover's advantage.
Nick? I can tell you why. I don't do it because I don't have the time. And I'm busy making parody videos, okay? satirical comedy. You know, that's what I'm busy focused on.
I was going to say, like, here, there's a question of how, like, how do you want to spend your time? So for somebody like Nick, who doesn't have much time, for you, Nick, what would be more interesting would probably be just go and provide capital to liquidity pools and just let them cook. right? And then you go check on them like once a day, one every 2 days, make sure you're still in range and you're all good, but you don't have to do anything. But the people who have less capital but have more time were easy tweeted, like those games, for example, that's a really good way of being able to farm gold. So like there's something for everyone, whether you're capital rich or it's a capital rich time poor or time rich or capital poor, there's something like that. There is a way to farm blast gold.
You can
For people that are just poor and busy.
Well, that's
go pack moon. Post one tweet in the morning and schedule it and call it a day. There's literally something for everyone.
If with your pack moon, if you haven't sold it yet, you can literally just deposit into Wasabi.
I did sell it because I didn't understand that whole Wasabi thing. I went over there. It was yielding 0.05% or something.
Literally that yield is negligible. What you were supposed to be getting was you get gold, you get blast gold, and then you get Wasabi points for their upcoming token. That was the opportunity.
This just feels like, dude.
It was free, though. It was free.
You know what's also free is the $20,000 that was just airdropped into my wallet. That's fucking crazy. Like, I had zero in that wallet the day before. Then I had $20,000 in that wallet the next day. And now you're telling me, now go back, go to that other table at the casino and go and use the chips that you just got for free.
Right.
And go
absolutely.
And get Wasabi gold. What? I don't know what the fuck we're talking about. I'm about to go buy fucking jewelry at Cartier and pay my rent for 3 months. Like what are we talking about here? Or you know what I may do? Clemente, any guesses?
Sulfur face wash.
No, I'm just going to buy like Bitcoin or something like that. Honestly,
it is a third of a Bitcoin, which like, in 25 years, people will just be weirded out that you were able to even get it. They're literally going to be like, how did you even get that? hilarious. Can't wait for 20 years from now. How'd you even get it? Real quick, back to Blast. Easy. So where do you sit? So I'm fascinated by Blast and Base. The reason I'm fascinated is because you have Base, which is from Coinbase, which is basically the number one United States-based crypto organization, pretty much one of the very few publicly traded crypto companies. You know, Rockstar CEO. They now have a layer two. That's very interesting to me. It's also interesting that they're like kind of making a big bet on Ethereum with it. Blast is obviously very interesting because he's the founder of Blast. Pac-Man is like our industry's like Mark Zuckerberg. He's like one of the young, really, really, you know, promising entrepreneurs. And Blur came in and shook up the industry immediately. It's now like the number one Ethereum NFT trading platform, just boom, multi-billion dollar company. Now he's got a layer two. Where do you see Blast in 6 months versus Blur? We're getting a Blast token. Do you think that's interesting that there's a Blast token and a Blur token like that? I would love to know what you think about that. Like, can we talk about that? Then we'll go to runes before we keep going.
Yeah, the Blast token is like, I think, inherently going to become gas on Blast versus ETH, which is a way for them to like compensate, streamline it. I think Blast in 6 months becomes more of an NFT DeFi, like NFT Fi chain, where we have stuff like Juice Finance and others on there. I also think games make sense, but it's more the NFT games, which are like Wolf games, strategy-based DeFi-centric games where you have to have a little bit better understanding of like tokenomics and how emission cycles work. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is going to make more sense. Where we saw struggles of that on ETH, and a lot of these ETH games move off to their other chain. Like Wolf Game, we saw Battle Pass by Meta Heroes move to Arbitrum. We've seen others where gas, like even Rec League, didn't make sense. Where Blast could provide a viable option for that versus having to go to another completely separate chain. I also think Pac-Man is going to try to figure out any way he can to incentivize people to keep building on Blast, which is Blast Rewards, Blast Gold, a Blast token. We saw how lucrative Blur was. And that's why I'm like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. Blur is also interesting to me because I think Spencer brought it up a while ago. It's inherently a bet on NFTs. Like, that's how I look at it. It's listed on Coinbase. It makes sense. You know, like, that makes a lot of sense to me. Where the longevity of it is, I do have some concerns because a two-token dynamic is always a little bit concerning.
Are there other examples that come to mind right away of that?
Of two tokens?
I mean, Axie Infinity had several. They had SLP, AXS, Ron. Well, Ron is like the chain.
Yeah, Ron's the chain, which in this, it could be similar. Like Blur being the token, Blast being the chain. Like, we also don't know if it's going to be a Blast token or if they do more Blur rewards. It says for redacted. So like, maybe they throw a curveball and dump us a bunch more Blur, you know, and maybe they bridge Blur to Blast.
Clemente says no.
No, please, for the love of God, no. I've been just stacking points. I stake like $3,000 in Blur since November. So if that's just Blur again, I'm toast. I'm absolutely toast.
You might not be. What if they do Bridget to Blast? And that's where now like Blur becomes inherently more interesting because of a fraction of the cost and they start incorporating it. And we get a Beanie tweet about how it's going to be incorporated into everything that we do. You know what I mean? Like that's like, what if Pac-Man goes that route and just makes a crazy bull case for Blur instead of doing its two token dynamic? Like two tokens always worry me because it's damn near impossible to try to create like enough demand for both, especially in a space that isn't seeing massive retail inflows. So I'm like, that's a concern.
Very interesting to see how it ends up setting up as video games become more relevant in the space. Fast forward a year, 2 years, it's going to be pretty fascinating just to see like what the adoption curve kind of looks like if people are coming in for video games and then bleeding over to other digital assets. If you talk to Spencer, Spencer says that the NFTs are basically the vehicle to end up getting a significant allocation to tokens. So all these different mechanics, we're going to have to see how they play out. Moving on to runes. Okay, so runes, biggest story on the Bitcoin side of, call it NFTs, you know, ordinals, and so on. Deez, a friend of the show and notable crypto and NFT trader and influencer, shared his perspective on the recent run that pre-runes have, you know, gone on. And he tweeted, "No one wants to hear this, but it's true. None of your unrealized gains will change your life until you realize them. Everyone is beating the drum of the halving equals up only. Runes aren't live yet, and Bitcoin whales have infinity bid bags. No one is talking about selling." Well, I have some opinions on this. I don't know who's saying that the halving is going to be like a light switch and it's going to make the price go up, because that's never happened before. It's a 6 to 9 month post-halving run that you see every single time. I don't believe that after 420 next Saturday, 9 days from now, all of a sudden the price of Bitcoin explodes. And I understand people saying like Bitcoin OGs have infinity bid bags, but I don't think that they just abruptly start deploying all of their Bitcoin into ordinals again, like a light switch. I think it takes everyone in crypto hates NFTs. I don't know if people don't understand this, but people are like way out on NFTs. It's a very resilient market, but it's a tiny, tiny market. It's going to take so long for the market for NFTs to expand. It will expand, but it's going to take so long. And I never buy any like, oh, such and such is going to deploy a ton of capital overnight like that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Nick, it looks like maybe you have an opinion on this.
Well, thanks for throwing to me. I'm as a Bitcoin whale, Theo. I'm ready to just deploy all of it directly into ordinals like a light switch. Dude, I have no idea where that. I feel like his whole post point was that no one's thinking about selling. Which means, does that mean we should be selling?
Selling what?
Runes. So he was specifically talking about runes and how basically like Bitcoin puppets, for example, have gotten tens of thousands of dollars. Literally, like if you just held everything as a Bitcoin puppet from like 0.03 Bitcoin, you've just gotten tens of thousands of dollars. And he's like, at some point, eventually, as bullish as you can be, there has to be some sort of pullback, but it has gone on a monumental run the last couple of weeks. So that's kind of what Deez was pointing out in his recent tweets. Easy. I know you, for example, you've been like, your strategy has been hold your liquid Bitcoin versus trying to get into the pre-runes action and then just buy the early winners and go from there, right?
That's my entire game plan. Like, dude, personally, I don't care about trying to farm a lot of these things. Like, I would rather just ape the first few ones that hit the ground, because there's so many. Like, dude, buying runes right now feels like you're dumping into pre-sales and hoping for a 10x. Versus finding some of the early winners and getting involved. Like, that's where my mentality is. It's like, I would rather buy into these winners early and let them run versus try to catch the pre-sale and hope that it cooks.
Yeah, but Easy, I think that, I think that analogy of like the pre-sale is really good, but I actually do think several of them are going to cook, and then you're going to have diminishing returns over time as the pattern keeps repeating, and then people don't get those returns. But the fact is, you've got this nascent market which hasn't had an opportunity until post-halving. Because also the narrative as well is that this is all meme coins, right? And that narrative means in people's mind, everything's gonna cook and you're gonna be rich at the end of this. While what the protocol is doing is just bringing fungibility, and how that fungibility like sort of ends up cooking over the long term, it won't just be meme coins. But because everybody's thinking, okay, this is only meme coins, I'm going to be rich. But the fact is, I do agree with you that if you just look at the first few coins that come out and then buy them on secondary, given the amount of speculation there is currently, when you've seen runes go from, so for example, Arcet go from 0.11 all the way down to 0.03, back up to 0.09. The fact is right now, you know, for example, you have 2 weeks left to be able to mine something like Arcet. So you kind of have to be asking yourself, will I be able to actually outperform what Arcet is currently at 0.09 versus what's coming in the future? And this is what everybody's doing right now. But it's a tricky time to lock up your Bitcoin in an ordinal right now, given how much speculation there is. And I do agree with Dee's here that there's that kind of like frothiness in the market like we had in 2021, where it's like sometimes you're kind of better off doing what Nick has just done, taking that 20 grand and walking away. I do remember as well, like 2021, I think Nick got airdropped 50 grand and then got chastised and being like, you idiot, why did you sell? And then you look back 3 months later and you're like, that was the thing to do. So it's always like balancing it between like, is there too much speculation or is it the right, was it the right amount of speculation, and is way more outsized returns to come?
I got airdropped like $500,000, and every single time I basically just took it off the table. What the stupidity was in 2021, keeping like 30 grand in or more. It was like 30 or 50 grand I kept in wallets to continue trading
in Ethereum. And
when
and
we started our show, and then promptly bought a bunch of garbage and just lost a huge chunk of that money. I think I ran like 50K down to like 15K, but I took, yes, I bought a seahorse. That was one of the things that got purchased during those things. I bought some, the other deed land, but I had also received a bunch of ape token. I made a bunch of money off that. I made a bunch of money selling my apes. So I made over $500,000 on the apes individually, $150,000 on the mutants. I made, I think like $100,000 on ape token. There were, I got the 45,000 from that dead friend. I got
That one's the best one. That is absolutely the best one. I mean, it's just like a textbook bubble situation. I mean, a dead friend NFT got airdropped to you or whatever, and you sold it for 45,000 US dollar equivalent, which is almost a full Bitcoin today.
I made money on Moonbirds. I made money on Loot. I made money on like some of these other things, because I bought Moonbirds when it was pumping and it cost like $25,000 to get a Moonbird, but then it went to like $35,000 and then I sold it.
In a very short period of time, by the way.
It was like a day or like same day, basically. But that was around the time that Mutants dropped. You had these like vertical run-ups where the price was just skyrocketing. You would I was flipping like art blocks. You'd buy an art block, sell it 5 minutes later for like a $3,000 gain. So it was just free money and it was pure absurdity. I don't think that ordinals are actually to that level yet. I think that we're actually still early in that cycle.
Absolutely.
I saw that video that Clemente posted about Signal, discussing the Bitcoin puppets, discussing in reference to my Node Monkeys comment. The overall situation there is, I think it's got more legs. It's almost like the whole NFT market, kind of what was the Ethereum NFT market, kind of partially migrated to ordinals. And so you like where you have a little more money, slower transaction times, but people still willing to speculate with big bags where they'll place $5, $10, $15, $20, you know, $50,000 bets on things. That's what that market feels like at this moment. And if Bitcoin keeps pumping, which we expect it to, then obviously I think the price of these ordinals are going to go up. I don't know relative to Bitcoin what that's going to look like, but I do think that like we're going to be like, we haven't gotten to silly level yet. But when you're getting airdrops, which I view as dividends, which I remember the Pixel Vault team telling me that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Pixel Vault. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah,
Pixel,
yes. I remember like talking about, yo, y'all just diluted. I bought Jupiter, which at the time seemed like smart buy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not Jupiter, the trading platform. This is an NFT from 2021 that had a very high supply by the organization Pixel Vault.
But it was overpriced, and so nobody was buying it, which meant that I thought the supply would actually be one of the lowest as a result of it, which meant the price would go up. But instead, what they chose to do was then airdrop all of those to different holders and dilute the shit out of that token. And when I said that this is like a dividend and the price is now X dividend, they were like, you don't know what you're talking about. Continued to gaslight me. And then the price of it literally like just dropped towards zero. But the only reason I bring that up is that like, that you should always take the free money that's given to you. I see everyone continuing to go back to the casino, and most of the people going back to the casino, from what I've seen, keep posting about, I made $100,000 yesterday, I lost $100,000 today. Like, I keep seeing tweets like that. And that's what happens when you get blessed with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do not take the hundreds of thousands of dollars and put it immediately back onto the table. You're going to get wrecked at some point.
Like, and the sort of asterisk I would throw on this is because you're basically talking about tokens that correspond to startups in a bleeding edge technology space where people are failing left and right.
Not even startups. At this point, it correlates to literally themes on Twitter.
Like, for the meme coins.
Whether or not people... No, but same with ordinals. Ordinals,
Not,
the value of an ordinal is not tied to a business from what I've seen so far. In fact, anyone that's like sort of like communicated association with a business has actually not seen price action.
And quickly, I want to put this out there because we mentioned Nick's $45,000 dead friend sale from last cycle. I just want to put a bow on this real quick because that's a $45,000 sale last cycle. That's more than a half of a Bitcoin right now, which in 20 years, people would be weirded out that you're even able to obtain that. How much do you guys make a bet? How much is a dead friend right now if you're going to buy one right now?
Zero.
0.02.
No, US dollars. What do you think?
$100.
$78.
$50. $56. So what would be a better call? Sell it for 45 grand or sell it now for $56? You know, one of them
I have a floor one, so the rare one definitely is probably $250 now. So that's rude of you.
There you go. Just wanted to kind of point that out because you're basically betting on a startup, right? And so startups fail all the time.
It's also just significant, like percentage of your portfolio that's exposed to like a space to have that much exposure. I mean, dude, my portfolio has been volatile primarily because of my punk, which has gone down by $100,000 basically in like a month or two. And so it's like, does it make sense to be having that much of your portfolio sitting in a punk? And like the true answer is probably no. Not that I don't think that they're valuable though. I mean, the floor is still 142,000.
You're still up on USD value, right? Just not ETH.
Yeah. I'm up $50,000 right now.
But when you buy an NFT, you're buying it because you expect it to outperform the underlying asset. You don't want to buy it and have, I mean, like you would have been better off just holding ETH, and I'm not trying to like, you know, rub it in your face or anything. The thing about the punk is you're making a fine art bet. When fine art collectors aren't buying NFTs and hate NFTs and don't understand them. Fawosh just came on the show and talked about a fine art collector buying his sculpture. And then he said, hey, it comes with an NFT. And the guy was like, I don't know what that is. I don't want it. I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about an NFT that's now owned by an organization, Yuga Labs. That is a startup, definitively. It's a venture-backed startup. And right now is not its all-time high in terms of public perception, token value, blah, blah, blah. So it's owned by that. And you're talking about an NFT that's on a chain that is less interesting to the market than the other two major NFT chains right now. So there's a lot of risk associated with the punk. Not saying that a punk won't go to $1 million over the next 10 years. I'm just kind of pointing out those factors as things that contribute to what's going on. It's the Wild West out here, man. It's crazy. It really is. Look, let's get a quick rundown before we wrap about the state of affairs with Solana NFTs. I think it's an interesting topic of conversation. We have the Tensor airdrop, ticker Tensor, TNSR, airdrop to people that traded on the Tensor NFT platform, to the holders of Tensorians, to the users of the Backpack wallet application. There's been a small rebound. You're seeing Mad Lads up 10%, SMB Gen 2 up 30%. Photo Finish up 14%, Parcel up 24%, DGen Ape Academy up 45%. Easy, what do you make of the price action we're seeing in Solana NFTs?
Solana Network is back, man. Now that it's back, we're starting to see volume and some liquidity show up again. I think obviously the other thing on this is like airdrop farming marketplaces makes a lot of sense. Tensor has shown tokenomics behind it, other marketplace farming opportunities. So people are now getting back into it in some capacity. I mean, the one thing that me and Clemente talked about the other day was Mutant Mon, which is now up to like 2.4 Sol, which is like a SPL hybrid DeFi, now sitting at 2. This to me is like the one thing I'm more interested in is like these hybrid DeFi collections, which continue to launch, which are more liquid NFT collections that mix meme coins and NFTs. And I think if they gain traction, they gain steam, it's going to be really interesting. And seeing some success there has me even more interested in it. But I think we're going to continue to see more of the NFT space, especially on Solana, gained some levels of traction. There was a Milady derivative called Retardio Cousin that minted for half a soul and went as high as 15, now sitting at 11 soul. So you're looking at a $100 mint cost all the way up to $2,200 right now, or $1,800, right around there. So yeah, not too shabby, to be honest. When you're still seeing stuff like this, obviously it has a whole Milady narrative around it of like meme coins and where they launch. But there's still wins to be made on the NFT side for sure.
Always for sure. And Clemente, I like this segment of choose the altcoin, dip and buy it. I think we can do that tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show today, Thursday, April 11th. If it's your first time listening, we run this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, where we discuss all things crypto market and some broader topics too.
Like skincare, where Pio is completely out to lunch on the
literally skincare. Googled ancient Rome skincare. And it was exactly what I said, down to the goose fat. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow. The show's available on Apple and Spotify podcast. It's available on every major podcast platform, wherever you get your podcast. Also available for the video feed on X platform video. That's Twitter video and YouTube. If you do watch on YouTube, make sure that you like and subscribe. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like I said, we will be back tomorrow. Have some kick-ass guests booked for next.